Wake up. No, that's tough after lunch. I ate a good lunch, too. Let's do what? You know, I forgot all about that, James. Turn to James chapter 3. You didn't come up here just to sit, did you? James
3. James 3, 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Also to bridle the whole body, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and we are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile or creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh.
Thank you, James. Sorry about that. I got a little ahead of myself, but it's good to be back this afternoon, and glad that you're here, that you came back, or that you stuck around after the meal. I want to encourage everyone to come back and go to the park tonight at 6:00. We'll have a little cookout and some time together, fellowship, and play a few games as we're everybody's starting back to school. James chapter 3 is where we're going to continue our study, but before we do, pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to study your word. Father, we pray that you will help us each day to be more of what you need us to be. Help us, Father, to have more self-control when it comes to the things we say. And Father, we pray that you will help us to look to you. Help guide every area of our life. Thank you for each one that's here this afternoon. And we thank you for the opportunity, again, to worship you and to study your word together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember, James closes out chapter 2 talking about how faith without works is dead, and faith apart from works is dead. And bottom line is, faith in Christ causes a change in the way we live. It causes a change in our action, in how we live and how we behave. It causes us to do things now that please God instead of seeking to always trying to please ourselves. And now as we move into chapter 3, we're going to see that our faith, it's not just has a change in our action, but it makes a change in how we use our tongue. Faith has a way of helping us decide what to say. And our faith is demonstrated in what we say. And also in how we say it and how we use our tongue. And I think one of the hardest things for us to do in this life is to control the tongue, is to control and really think about the things we say before we say them. It's kind of like the lady whose tombstone read, and you probably heard this, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." You know, that there are certain people that they will not learn to hold their tongue until they take their last breath. And that's, we know people like that, don't we? that they just say whatever is on their mind and what comes to mind, and sometimes, even as Christians, if we're not careful, we're guilty of the same thing. There are four things I want us to think about tonight from this text in James chapter 3 that James talks about in regards to the tongue. But the first thing is found in verses 1 and 2, and that is that we're going to be held accountable for what we say. Not many of you should become teachers, verse 1, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. You know, James specifically brings up those who are teachers. Those who were teachers of that day, maybe those who had put themselves up as teachers. He refers to, it would seem, to himself here as well. But there are many that would say James is talking about teachers who maybe aren't prepared, or maybe they're unqualified to be a teacher, or maybe they're teaching for the wrong reason, out of the wrong motive. And James makes it clear, too, that not everyone can be a teacher. Maybe some of these folks are teaching for the prestige, or maybe for the honor. And as you look at a teacher during that day, many would say that a teacher, it was almost like a position, an official position, more like maybe right below an apostle and a prophet. And some would say that maybe that's part of what he's referring to here, that it was a place of, or a position of prestige. And so it was more about being a teacher itself than what the person was actually teaching. And so James, he's focusing on the demands of a teacher, the responsibility that comes with being a teacher. And it's not that James is trying to discourage anyone from teaching. It's just if you teach, you need to understand the responsibility and that we're going to be held to a different standard, a higher standard. There's a greater responsibility for anyone who teaches the Word of God. James goes on to say, look at verse 2, for we all stumble. Some versions say we all offend or maybe make mistakes. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Part of maturing, part of growing as a child of God and as a Christian is learning how to control what I say, how to control the tongue. And when we control what we say, James would say, we control or we bridle our whole bodies. When we bridle our tongue, we're able to become a more mature person, a mature man. As teachers, we're going to be held accountable and judged with greater strictness for what is taught. And that makes sense because when you teach and you think about who James is writing to and those that would have been teaching during that day, what they taught affected many people. And when you teach the gospel, it affects people for salvation. If you teach something that's not the gospel, that affects their salvation too. And so we're going to be held, any teacher of God's word is going to be held to a higher standard. And so it's important that we're always careful what we say. Learning to bridle our tongue, learning to control our tongues is extremely important for any Christian, especially for a teacher of God's word, one who teaches the Bible, teaches the Word of God, teaches the gospel. I want you to turn with me for a minute to Matthew chapter 12. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, read with me verses 36 and 37. And notice what Jesus says here in this passage. Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, we say things so often and so carelessly. And we don't recognize that the words that I speak are the words that will either justify me or will cause me to be condemned. We're going to be held accountable for what we say and how we use our tongue. The second thing that we see with James here in James 3 is that the tongue, it has power. And it has power for good. And it has power for evil. And ultimately, the Lord gives us the opportunity to choose how we're going to use that, and if we're going to use it for the good or for the evil. There's a couple of ways that he illustrates the power of the tongue here. The first way is with a bridle or a bit in a horse's mouth. That bridle is what controls the horse, and it's what determines where the horse is going to go or what the horse is going to do. So that small bit, that small bridle, controls everything that that horse does. Controls the body of that horse. Another example he uses is a rudder, a very small rudder on a ship. If the rudder is properly used, it steers that vessel where it needs to go. Even in storms, that small rudder will direct a huge ship exactly where the captain of the ship wants that ship to go. And the point, part of the point that James is making is just like that bridle and just like that rudder are small objects that control great things or large things, the tongue's a small member of the body, and yet he says it boasts great things. The tongue can be used for great good. The tongue also can be used for great evil. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Our words can be used to help and to heal, or our words can be used to tear apart. Our words can be used to cut and to destroy. Our goal as Christians should be to build up, to encourage. That passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 I think is important. As Paul's writing to the Christians in Ephesus, he says, "Let no corrupting talk or no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." That's a good question to ask. Whenever I say something, is it fit for the occasion? Does it build up? Does it encourage? That's how we're supposed to use our tongue. But if we're not intentional and we don't think about our words, and we're not using our words intentionally and our tongue intentionally to encourage, then the tongue a lot of times is going to be used for evil. It's going to be used for lying. It could be used for deceit. It could be used to discourage. It could be used for foul language and even false teaching. So instead of building up, it'll tear down. And that type of evil brought about by the tongue is so great that it's almost as if, you know, it's fueled by the fires of Gehenna or hell. Probably Gehenna is what he's referring to there. Now, some would say, it's from Satan himself. That type of mindset and that type of evil that comes from the tongue. So the tongue is powerful. We need to remember it has the power for both good and evil. Number three, we see this in verses 5 through 8, is that man can't tame the tongue. James uses a couple of more illustrations in verses 5 through 8. A forest fire. It says how great a forest fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. You know, most of us around here, we realize how dangerous grass fires are. And over the last couple of years, we've really seen that really close to home. Some of us have some family members that were in directly affected by some terrible fires, even just a little bit north of here. And so we realize that, you know, all it takes sometimes is a little spark, maybe somebody just throwing out a cigarette, maybe a campfire that's not put out completely. Very small spark in a great fire can result. Completely go out of control, and it can destroy thousands and thousands of acres, destroy homes, and even lives. And James says the tongue is a fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. Stains the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. So if my tongue is not carefully monitored, it can burn out of control and it can destroy everything within hearing distance. It can destroy if I don't use it in the right way. If the tongue is out of control, so are you. If my tongue is out of control, I'm out of control. If your tongue's out of control, you're out of control. It affects our whole bodies. It affects all of our lives. So he compares it to a forest fire, but he also mentions certain beasts. Every kind of beast. Birds, reptiles, sea creatures. He mentions they can be tamed. And we see it today, don't we? I mean, you go to the circus and you see these huge animals, lions and tigers and elephants, how men have trained these huge beasts, dangerous beasts. And yet James says, no human can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Man's basically been able to tame everything except his own tongue, and it's the deadliest, really, of all, full of toxic poison. A careless tongue can damage an entire life. It can damage the lives of those around it and those that it affects. You go back to James 1. We read this a couple weeks ago. But James chapter 1 and verse 26. Notice what James says here towards the end of that chapter. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And I can show up to worship every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, Bible class. I can sing. And yet if I don't bridle my tongue, everything that I offer to God is worthless. It's meaningless. It doesn't matter to Him. It's not acceptable to Him. The tongue is a major battleground for us, for our daily lives, against Satan and against sin. You know, a lot of Christians will quickly condemn murder, rape, homosexuality. A lot of these obvious sins we know are sins, and we need to stand against them. We need to condemn those sins. But yet sometimes we tolerate, or maybe even we participate in talking about others behind their back, or criticizing others, or putting others down with our conversations or within our conversations. Lying, being critical, and then acting as if it's not any big deal. And when in reality what we're doing, we're dividing the people of God. We're causing problems. We're causing sometimes division within the body of Christ because we're using our tongues for evil. These sins, as well as any other sin that we could think of with the tongue, they come from Satan. And the tongue, as he said, is a restless evil, never sleeps. In other words, I've always got to be on guard. I've always got to be on guard of what I'm saying and how I use my tongue. And truth is, I think only God can tame our tongue, right? Only God can tame our tongue. We need help. We need help. I think we need to look to what I think David said. If you go turn over to Psalm for just a minute. Psalm 141. Psalm 141. And this is one really basic way, and I think the best way to start learning to control our tongue is to follow what David says here. Psalm 141 and verse number 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set the guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. If I'm having trouble controlling my tongue, I need to seek God's help. I need to ask God to help me. And that doesn't end there, but I need to begin there. I need to ask God to help me control my tongue. I need to pray that God help me. I need to seek God to help me tame my tongue. Man can't tame the tongue, but God can. The last thing we want to look at here is that the tongue is controlled ultimately by the heart. It's ultimately controlled by the heart. James addresses what was and really, I think, is still a major, I guess you could call it a hypocrisy among, I think, many people who claim to be Christians. And that is this. He says, verse 9, with our tongue we praise or we bless our Lord the Father, and with our tongue we curse people who are made in the likeness of God or made in His likeness. You know, it's quite possible that somebody could come here on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, and man, we could sing songs. We could sing the invitation song here in just a minute, and we can sing the song before we partake of the Lord's Supper and the closing song, and then sit through the prayer, and then we can walk out of here, get in our cars, and we can criticize. Well, that's how could that song leader sing and lead a song that I don't know? Or it was too fast, or it was too slow, or the preacher preached too long, or not long enough, or whatever it may be. Or did you know, can you believe Sister So-and-so, what she did this weekend, and she's here Sunday morning, or where has she been the last few weeks? And we maybe have these conversations with our families, within our families, and we don't ever stop and consider the things that we're saying, and that we're being more critical than we are being helpful. Maybe I just need to pick up the phone and I need to call Sister So-and-so. Or maybe I need to make a visit to her home and express my concern that she hasn't been here. Or thankful that they were here. And so, our tongues are either going to be used for the good or for the evil, and the encouragement of the church, or they can be used to discourage the church. James says when a Christian does that, it's contrary to all nature. When they bless God in one setting, they sing and praise, give God the praise, and then the next minute they turn around and they're criticizing the people that are made in His likeness. He said that goes against all nature. He says the same spring can't send forth both fresh water or salt water, both fresh water and salt water. He says a fig tree can't produce an olive, or a grapevine can't produce a fig. Neither can a salt pond produce fresh water. Kind of goes back to what Jesus said in Matthew 15. In Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 18, He's speaking to Pharisees and scribes. And look at what He says in chapter 15 and verse number 18. Matthew 15, verse 18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witnesses, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Jesus is making the point. He's really driving home the point in this passage. It's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's what is already within your heart. And what comes out of a person depends upon the condition of our heart. And so if there is sewage in my heart, sewage is going to eventually come out of my mouth. That old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Eventually, what's in my heart is going to come out of my mouth. And so the tongue is controlled by the heart. So James teaches several things about the tongue. We're going to be held accountable for how we use our tongue. The tongue has the power for both good or evil, and we have the opportunity to choose how we're going to use it. Man can't tame the tongue, but God can. And finally, the tongue is controlled by the condition of our heart. There was a preacher who once formed what he called a mutual encouragement formula. And so what he did is he encouraged all the people that he knew to, before they said anything, always ask five questions. And he used the word think. And so just think about that word think. Five letters, T-H-I-N-K. And here's the five questions before you say anything. First of all, is it true? If it's not true, I don't need to repeat it. But if it's true, then possibly I need to say it. But that doesn't mean I have to say it. So number one, is it true? Number two, is it helpful? Even if it's true, is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be beneficial? Number three, is it inspiring? So is it true? Is it helpful? Is it encourage others? Is it inspiring? Number four, is it necessary? Is it really necessary that I make that statement or say whatever it is I'm about to say? And then the last thing, is it kind? So just consider the word think before we say anything. And ask those five questions before I say anything. Controlling our tongue and using it for good and encouraging others, it begins in my mind. It begins with what I think. Just want to leave you with Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 as we close. Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." When you and I think about those things, what we speak is going to reflect that. The things we say and how we say it is going to reflect that. Maybe this afternoon you're here and you'd like prayers. Maybe you're struggling with something in your own life. Maybe it has to do with your tongue. Maybe it's another struggle that you have. Or maybe you happen to be here this afternoon and you're ready to obey the gospel, Christ all in baptism. We can pray with you. We can help you in any way. Won't you come? We'll stand as we sing.